From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to an exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Kyle. I'm going to be with Keon. Keon, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. You're dressed like Morpheus. That's always a good day when you're dressed.
Busy week, Keon.
Has it?
Yeah, what have you been up to?
For Morpheus? I haven't really been up to a whole lot. Really not much of anything. Mostly fixing bugs.
Oh, really?
I would say. Yeah, I upgraded LND over the weekend for Stacker News, and then it had this kind of critical API that we depend on for doing stuff, had a bug in it, and then that was unfortunate. So I had to create a workaround and discover the bug, find the bug, help LND devs find the bug. I think Ziggy 1984 did great responsiveness to that bug. And then once he discovered the bug, I realized I couldn't use that API anymore, and then had to do it on my own. And then that has a bunch of its own issues. Anyway, that was most of my week is dealing with that kind of stuff while doing normal things. But
sponsor.
Oh, do you? Red Bull.
Red Bull.
Oh.
Look at your face. You're like, whoa, where'd that come from?
That'd be pretty cool. I
think we can get them. We'll see.
I think I saw an AI-generated thread from about the Red Bull guy. And he seems to have an interesting story.
I think he rose through Austin when they do the F1 stuff. It can happen.
He rose through
Austin? He rose through. He comes through Austin.
Oh, he rolls. I thought you said he rose. He rolls. I thought he was on.
Like when you roll up, Keon, remember the 90s when they say roll up? Roll up on me.
No, it wasn't really cool. I didn't know. No one said that to me, that they're going to roll on me. But maybe someday soon someone will say that to me.
Yeah. We got a pretty good show today, I think.
I don't think we can tell ahead of time.
I think we do. There's a lot of stories today. Let me publish this, but there's a lot of stories today, but it's just much going on, dude. I wouldn't even cover everything. Like, there's just so much news to sort through this week. So there's that.
But yeah, it is. It was hard picking like our own top stories this week for sure.
Yeah. So much interesting stuff going on. If you've never seen this crazy show before, check it out. It's on YouTube. Yeah. And we're live now. We go live every Friday at 4 p.m. And it's been a pretty good week. Last week's most viewed video was the Proxima Centauri one. Apparently people like Elon Musk and go into a different solar system. Or I guess it would be going to a different galaxy. No, is it a galaxy? No, it wasn't a galaxy, right? It's just like the next nearest sun. So it's the same galaxy, just a different sun. But
okay.
Check it out.
Yeah, we should do more clips about Elon Musk.
Apparently.
It's probably gets pretty good.
With all that, let's jump into the top three of the week. The first one is the ownership obsession, what Uber and Airbnb ready sell. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, this is a great piece. It basically argues that we own so many things that we don't use almost like as insurance for our future selves to have access to them is basically what it says. Like, you know, one of the examples that I like the most is a drill. Like how often do you use a drill that you have like permanent storage for year round? It's maybe at most, maybe an hour a year, but you have, it takes up space. And why? Like it's not being used. And basically argues that for things like Uber and Airbnb, they've made renting things very like so easy that we feel like we no longer have to say own a vacation home or own a car in another location that we can drive around in. And so what the sharing economy does is reduces the need for us to own things by lowering the transaction costs of gaining access to the thing when we need it. Like we show up in Florida, we can have an Airbnb, we have a house there that we've rented from someone else who just owned it. And then we can also rent a car that someone wasn't using while we were there. Oh, okay. Yeah, Nick believes in owning everything. I like this post quite a bit, but he argues that you might be able to, the author argues that you might be able to extrapolate to other types of goods, like the drill. Like maybe in some future situation, a company comes out where the transaction costs are, they make the transaction costs of borrowing a drill from someone else very low, like Uber and Airbnb have made borrowing a car from someone or a house from someone very low. And that would perhaps unlock other things. And I actually had an idea like this in college. One of my startup ideas that I never pursued was online thrift stores, which effectively do this.
Craigslist?
No, but Craigslist is like,
yeah, that's a joke.
Is peer to peer, which is great. But kind of what you want is a place
like Etsy.
No, not peer to peer. It wouldn't be a marketplace. It would be one company who's kind of providing, like, basically you would donate a bunch of stuff to them and then they would allow people to rent it out locally.
Okay. That's what you're saying.
And then they could return it whenever they wanted and donate it back. But
I feel like there's those community apps that have that already. There's like a community app that does that.
That's peer to peer too. There's no company that's doing like an Amazon for thrift stores, like an Amazon for renting everything rather than owning everything. Like that's basically the, like, if that helps the idea any.
So the Klaus Schwab app is what you're thinking.
There you go. Yeah. If you want, if you're a cynic in your world, that's how this manifests. But yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was, the framing I think is very accurate and can help you think about the sharing economy well.
We had the top comment from Simple Stacker. He said, I've actually published on this subject. The way I've characterized it is that Uber and Airbnb help small suppliers sell spare and underutilized capacity, which is efficiency improving overall. And Discipline said, love Munger, love this topic. I do tend to buy things. I need to, but I don't really buy anything in advance of needing it. That's sort of a middle ground between the renters and the preppers. For me, what I'm paying for is avoiding the irritation of rental transactions. Interesting. Yeah. I definitely think, like, if you own a business, you should be purchasing things. I definitely think that. Especially if you're going to get multi-use out of it. But it does come, does become a problem with space. So that, there's that. But if you can donate it, that's always a good thing. Or give it to somebody else, right? That could help them. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You got anything else on this one?
Not really. But those are the, I believe those are the transaction costs, the, like, enumerated transaction costs of attempting to acquire something like a ladder or a drill temporarily. Like there's a reason why we own those things is because it's because of those costs. It's cheaper to just buy it and then store it somewhere than it is to borrow it.
Or just be in a community and, help your neighbor out. The next one is the dangers of closed. Wait, where? Oh man, I got the wrong one in here, did I? Yeah, I guess I did. The dangers of closed-mindedness and open-mindedness. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, it's a post from Kepford arguing both in favor of closed-mindedness and against open-mindedness, against closed-mindedness and for open-mindedness. So he kind of takes both sides on this. I think taking his own advice and on the topic for the post. But yeah, what are some of the interesting things he says in here? I guess the problem with being open-minded is you maybe take tradition for granted and you don't appreciate it, is one of the things he says here. And then you end up with kind of never being opinionated enough to go, like, very deep on an opinion or develop a more mature point of view on a particular thing. And that's like kind of the risk of being open-minded, is you're kind of pulled every which way by current events or whatever, I think is what he's arguing about being open-minded. And then closed-mindedness is you maybe aren't improving is more or less the main danger of closed-mindedness. And you kind of, you take tradition, or what you think of as a tradition, is at face value. And so you never think to question it or even evaluate whether there is some even more ancient tradition that, if you are taking following tradition as a virtue, you might be ignoring those things and doing yourself a disservice.
I kind of skimmed through this morning when I was reading the other post, the one that we were showing before. I didn't really grasp what he was getting at, though. That was the thing where I couldn't figure out, like, was he for or against? Like, I didn't really understand that part.
No, I think he's demonstrating.
Oh, he's just giving two distinct opposites and favors, and or how would you say it? I guess the good and bad of being closed-minded, and good and bad versus being open-minded, that kind of thing. That's all.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, why you might not want to be purely open-minded and why you might not want to be purely closed-minded. Like, both sides have trade-offs and advantages. And he kind of walks through them.
Yeah. What do you think, Keon?
I think I tend to be more on the open-minded side of things. And I definitely, I do think there is a risk to that, where I won't develop opinions that are, I think, strong enough to where I might, I don't know, be more effective in some way. But yeah, that's at least where I fall. I definitely wouldn't consider myself closed-minded.
I don't think you can be if you're in Bitcoin, to be honest.
I think we have quite, I think actually one of the features, someone should do a personality like survey of Bitcoiners, because I would guess that it's actually a fairly conservative bunch, which suggests that they are actually probably more like temperamentally closed-minded than open-minded. But I mean, it's not that they're purely closed-minded, it's just that I would guess a statistically significant bias would show up towards.
I think that's just kind of what you said right there is more just like a thing people say in Bitcoin, I believe, personally.
Okay.
You see that a lot.
Well, I certainly just said it.
So. Yeah, I know. That's why I say you see it a lot. You hear it a lot. Yeah. Where's the top comment? It was from Darthcoin. He said, "I appreciate your kindness, but you're too kind sometimes." What was that in response to? I guess his response to the post?
Yeah, it was
interesting.
Direct response to the post that Kepford made.
Then we had Space Holler says, "It pays to keep an open mind, but not so open when your brains fall out." Carl Sagan. He was a funny guy. Yeah, I don't know. For me, it's kind of like, I look at it like 3-4 different ways. It's kind of tough, right? Obviously, you want to always be open to things. And, you know, we talk about it a lot. Like, you want to, what's the thing that you always say? It's like the four, it's like four letters or something. Remember we were talking about it? Like, we talked about it multiple times.
LEAP. I like the acronym LEAP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that stand for?
Listen, empathize, agree, partner. Those are kind of what you want to do if you are
hearing somebody out, right? You want to be charitable with hearing people's topics, right? Or whatever it is.
Yeah. I think it's a position of you're not being defensive or judgmental. Like, if that's what you want to give off, that's how you would communicate with someone.
Yeah. And so I kind of see that, right? And then I also see the more like the biblical side of things. Like, you want to reason. What is it? You want to reason with intellect, basically. Like, you want to get to like a base objective reality or objective truth of what it is that you're actually trying to get to. So just in any sort of topic, but there's always kind of like a wait and see. They don't call it that, but it's more like a wait until there's more information available type of thing. So I see it that way too. And then the third way I definitely see it is just kind of how you were raised, right? Like you tend to take on some of the same biases that your family or generationally that you have growing up. So it's kind of one of those things too, depending on how close you are to your family or.
I would guess it's actually more generic than it is environmental. Like I would guess it has your open-mindedness versus your closed-mindedness probably has less to do with your upbringing and how you were raised than just like the design of you.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, that's kind of how I see it, those three ways. But in reality, like how do you always perform? It's tough, dude. Right? For me, I like when you catch me on a bad day, I'm going to be closed-minded. Catch me on a good day, I'll be open-minded. Just kind of depends. You strive for like what you're talking about, but it's tough. It's definitely tough. There was one good comment I saw on this earlier. This one right here. I think it was Simple Stacker says, I think this is an important topic. Many people today basically think closed mind bad, open mind good. It's good to point them to the risks of open mindedness and the virtues of closed mindedness as well. Yeah. I think it's good. Good post. Kefford on a roll. Where's the other one? Let me go back one more. And the number one story this week is Hindsight. Starry-eyed. This is from Jason B. 29 comments, 19,000 cents. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, Jason B. does a recap on his trip to South Africa. Over the past few months, we've covered a few posts by Jason B. that he wrote from South Africa, where he went there to help out Bitcoin Akasi.
Dude, that's beautiful. Look at that sunset, or maybe that's what that looks like. Morning time, maybe.
But, all right. Yeah, it could be a sunset or a sunrise. But that was a restaurant that he liked. I guess there was a server there who was having trouble with the banking system, and they had relatives out in Florida who were unable to send them money in South Africa. And by Jason communicating with the server, they ended up figuring out how to use Bitcoin to do remittances to South Africa from Florida, which is pretty awesome. The whole point of Jason,
look at that. That's cool.
Yeah. The whole point of Jason B going to South Africa was that he wanted to expose his family, his children to, a different environment, and just see how they would get along. And he calls that a success. But he says his other mission, which is where he was hoping to go to South Africa and orange pill, and like help people who like this huge solar boom in South Africa offset their costs with mining. He said he didn't get much of a chance to do that because he didn't end up being able to source enough miners. I think he said he only really got one miner. And it was an S9 that Brains donated to him. And he said it didn't arrive until like right before he left, which was pretty sad. It's kind of a bummer. If he goes back and he's looking for miners in the future, he, lets us know, because I know the mining foundation, I thought it was called 402. It might be something else. There's a mining group run by Ecno Alchemist, who they just got a huge donation of mining chips from Block. And I'm sure they'd be happy to donate something or some of them to a cause like this. Anyway, he recaps his entire journey in South Africa, and those pictures at the end there are from when he came back and did a gig. I guess when he came back, he got a gig at a Christmas tree lighting ceremony.
Look at that piano, dude.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a nice setup.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah, look at those Christmas lights. Nice. We have the top comment from Simple Stacker. He said, sounds really awesome. What is your thinking for why South Africa has embraced Bitcoin so much compared to, say, the U.S.? Because I'm not sure if this is the main issue or not, but even at 846 sats a day and a time to profitability of a year and a half, I think the raw value of the return is probably not enough to excite most people into taking action. Really about that, Keon?
Oh, did you ask me a question?
Yeah. What did you think about what Simple Stacker said?
I don't know. What did he say?
It looks like he said, if I'm not sure, it sounds like 846 sats. He did all the calculation basically saying it's not enough to excite most people.
Oh,
do you think that's necessarily true or not?
Maybe. Jason B does some of the math. I guess there's like an installation cost that he has that is like local to the region where they were doing it, and he did some math on it. Or like a, I think it was, there's a certain threshold where they do become, that pays for like the installation of the solar panels eventually. Mm-hmm. And that would be the whole, maybe the whole point. Or no, I think it was just mostly to pay off the miners themselves. But then after that, you're in profit because you're using excess electricity.
Yeah, I also think people forget about the non-KYC aspect of mining. That's always, especially, and then if it's just like energy that's not taking anything from the grid, right? Is this one just all insular as far as like where it's at?
Yeah, this is just about solar. Like a lot, because they had rolling blackouts and brownouts in South Africa over the last, I don't know, years or whatever. And also a lot of people ended up having to install solar panels for themselves to be able to have electricity like throughout continuously. And so
it's a nice setup.
It'd be nice. Yeah. If you could figure out a way to offset the cost of installation, then you could like lower the floor on the entry for more people in South Africa.
Yeah, I was talking to a Bitcoiner this week, and they were talking about like geothermal in Colorado or something, and it sounds epic. And they were talking about how like you can have acres of land really inexpensively, all off-grid mining and stuff. And I was like, damn.
Yeah, you could set up your own geothermal. That'd be pretty cool. But I think the depth of most viable geothermal mines, I don't know what they call them.
It sounded cool when he was telling me about it. I don't know how.
Depending on the region, yeah. Sometimes geothermal is.
I don't know anything about mining like that.
It's close to the surface
area. Oh, that's awesome. That's all the top three stories of the week here on Stacker News Live. We're going to jump into. Oh, where is it at? We're going to jump into Wumble's picks. Wumble's picks this week. Wumble's picked. Has Proton gone too far? This is from Siggy 47. 38 comments, 941 sets. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so I guess Proton released a spreadsheets application. Seems like they've been just one after the other kind of releasing office suite type applications. In this case, they released a spreadsheet thing. And so Wumbo asked,
like Google Sheets, basically?
Like Google Sheets.
Hmm.
But for Proton,
interesting.
Siggy seems concerned that Proton might be getting over their skis and like overextending themselves, and maybe won't be able, like it'll degrade their other product offerings by having this new product
offerings. Let's look at that. So they got Proton Mail.
I'm a subscriber. I'm a big user of Proton.
Okay. Do you have used Sheets yet?
No, I saw the announcement.
You could talk over
here. My thought is like, is Sheets really what breaks the camel's back? Because they have Bitcoin wallet. They've got like Drive. They've got password. They've got a new private AI.
They have a private AI now?
Yeah. I mean, it's becoming like a full alternative Google suite. But for me, Sheets is like a pretty boring feature. Yeah. Lumo. It's really cool because it's I haven't looked into the back end. Maybe it's like, trust me, bro, privacy, but. They claim it's private, and it has a web search tool, which is a really powerful thing to have, like a private AI as a web search tool.
That's cool.
But yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Proton. I want to keep going.
Yeah, it sounds. I didn't know they had an AI thing.
Oh yeah, they do have a. They have a. It's sort of like Open Secret, like.
Oh wow.
Or Maple AI, like.
Yeah.
Is my understanding. But yeah, so Wumbo asks, as developers and entrepreneurs, how do you keep from expanding your product line too far? That's a great question. I think I had an answer. I think you just need to ask yourself what your product does over and over again. And if the answer is the answer is 20 things not very well, then you're probably doing something wrong. You probably should have one answer. Like one answer that's quite strong and good would be. So that's, I think I would guess what Proton is doing is, if they were to ask themselves that question, how they would answer is say, we're building Google, like Google's tooling, Google's like services, but private. Like I think that's what they would say. And the scope of that is pretty large, but it's at least like fairly succinct. And you can, that kind of shows up in everything that they end up offering. But it isn't an intimidating level of scope, because Google is a huge, massive company with, you know, lots and lots of money. Carr, do you have an answer to this question?
What was the question again?
How do you keep from expanding your product line too far to the point where it buckles under its own weight?
I think Proton is doing what it's supposed to be doing, like competing with the alternative to Google. Like they're the complete opposite of Google. That's the direction they're going in. And I think everything that you'll see, this is just my opinion. I think, I don't know anything, but I would imagine that everything that Google has, Proton will have, because it's trying to make a direct competitor to it, just on the opposite side of that with privacy and encryption and all that kind of stuff. So I think you're going to see everything, even video, social at some point, I would imagine. But who knows? Did you see Optimism had a really good response. He said, yes, you can. If you can afford it, you have a product team for each product areas for each group and verticals for each security frameworks and auditing and the like. He said, I've successfully worked with 30 plus concurrent product teams. Wow. I didn't know that about Optimism. He goes, it can definitely be done. But he says that sounds like you're going to have a lot of delegated leadership. Austin, you kind of work with product lines. Or at least I hear you on calls talking about products. You don't have to say who you work for, but how do you think it can be managed at that scale just by looking at what Optimism said? It sounds pretty intense.
I think that he put it well. Like I wouldn't change anything that he said or really add to it. It's more of like, Keon's question made me think, yeah, like what is it that they're really doing? Like what's the secret sauce, right? Because they're building a bunch of apps, but what is the commonality between all of these apps that makes someone choose Proton? Well, the commonality here is that they at least claim to have end-to-end encryption, right? So for me, that's the secret. And like you get that working in email. You get that working, you know, maybe Drive or Calendar was their second product, maybe Password. And then eventually they're like, cool, we have the template down for how to do the end-to-end encryption for the data. Now what's the new application? And then the thing is like, okay, maybe they don't have the best calendar app. Maybe they don't have the best AI app. But it's like, well, I don't need it to be competitive on the UI or feature standpoint with Google necessarily, because they're giving me something that Google or no one else will give me. So I guess my kind of thought is like, maybe the quality of the app is going to be a little bit worse quality than other products. But if they, you know, stay true to the principle of end-to-end encryption and the reason that I and most people are using Proton, I think it's good. And it makes it to where they can have a shittier Google suite and I will choose it over Google every time.
Yeah. It does. You hear a lot of people give them crap about the, what was that recent thing that they had where they got, who put a gun to their dick or something? Wasn't there like a three-letter agency that did that?
I don't know anyone who put a gun to their dick. Not yet. I'd like to meet them someday.
Yeah, this one right here. That was this one. So it's important to bring this up. ProtonMail discloses user data lending to arrest in Spain. So there's that, right? But that was like a year ago. Or more than a year ago? Was that probably, that was probably after or before they were NGO, I think, if I remember correctly.
They're an NGO?
Now they are, yeah. Now they
are. Oh, you mean they're a nonprofit?
Nonprofit, yeah.
Okay. Which are kind of different things, right?
No, non-governmental organization. No, same thing in my book. But let's get back to this real quick so we can. But do you think this is a thing?
Oh no, it's definitely like, a thing. It's like they you leak all kind of metadata to them, and you have to still be super vigilant. I would guess that to a large extent, a lot of ProtonMail's privacy stuff is more of a LARP than most people using it would like to believe. I would guess that they are more private than Google, and they don't have the incentives that Google does to really mine all your data. But I think most of your email, unless you are explicitly encrypting them, are like stored in plain text on their server. So it's my understanding.
Yeah, so this was almost a year and a half ago, more than a year and a half ago. So it's worth bringing up because it is something that Stackers should definitely, you know, look into. Yeah.
Yeah, and encryption won't help you from getting doxxed.
Yeah.
If you leak metadata, right? This is why, like, you can have private DMs with me on Noster, but everyone will know that we're DMing. So that's the same thing here. Maybe all your emails, maybe all your docs are encrypted. Like, they literally can't see it, but they have this whole audit trail. And if it's attached to a phone number, if it's attached to other metadata, they get, basically cease and desist or whatever it's called in Sweden. The feds come and knock on their door, and they have to give up what they have. Now, hopefully, most of that data is encrypted, but...
Yeah, I think Optimism says it right here, because I think the safe sign-up process is... Or he says, do not use their VPN service or real IP at any time, also not during sign-up. And he said, open for a free account. Do not give them a fallback email. So it sounds like it's a process. Pay through Bitcoin, use Atomic, or use a submarine swap, it sounds like. So it sounds like, and they talk about it in the comments, but definitely worth a post. Definitely.
Oh, I think he asked another question. Do you think Proton Sheets will be a successful project? I think it will be a successful project, in the sense that they are, if anyone is trying to find an alternative to Google or the Microsoft Office suite, but cares more about privacy maybe than like product maturity, I think they'll be more likely to switch to Proton now because Proton meets more of the needs than they did before.
Yeah.
So
I just see them eventually just, you know, being as big as Google at some point. And then just having the alternative of it, right? But there's still aspects of like what Austin talked about, you know, you don't want to leak your data. You still gotta be vigilant. Good post, Wumble. That was Wumble's picks. Wumble's picks. And we're gonna jump into, let's go with yours first, Goob.
Okay.
This one is a bunch of alarming poop. This is from Elvis Mercury, 54 comments, 2,850 sets. Keon, what's this?
Yeah. So Derek Thomas rattles off a bunch of things that I guess are going on in the world that seem kind of bad. Things like young people's attention is levels are declining and they're like impulse control declining, and it's linked to how everything is a video now and no one's really reading, and things like that. Some of the other things are like gambling levels are very high, home ownership is low. That like toxicity of news sources, primarily it's like trend, it's to be doing that like historical analysis, it's just gotten more and more like fear driven than ever before. Let's see what is then it ties in, of course, like the big AI boom and, you know, forecasts about what that might do to the job market and how it's like distorting energy markets. Maybe I would guess it is, at least temporarily. and how there's like, while we don't, well, it's not really showing up in a big way in unemployment numbers, it's still, you know, most people expect AI to lead to some kind of employment shortage. Drugs, I guess we've stopped consuming out, like alcohol is on the decline, yet we're consuming tons of weed. And you know, that has trade-offs. There, among the optimistic things here, he talks about GLP-1s and believes that that is like a, you know, a nice trend for drugs, and it seems to be helping people both lose weight and reduce a bunch of disease risk by, I think the current theory is some kind of anti-inflammatory effects.
Gosh, yeah, such a doomer post.
It is. That's the weird thing is like it's kind of doomer and it is kind of alarming, but he ends it by being, you know, I think optimistic. He basically says,
oh yeah, where is he? Yeah, the optimistic part.
Yeah. Says we are he ends by saying we're ruled by this bias towards the negative. Like we pay a lot of attention to the negative. And, you know, here are some things that are good is like, you know, 50 years ago, I think it's something like half of the United States didn't have heating and cooling, like electronic heating and cooling. I think, and then part of the graph up there is that he showed that a lot of the, you know, quite a few places in the United States didn't even have indoor plumbing. So that's obviously a good trend. And then the quote he ends with is, and then like the impact of art maybe to kind of skew us back towards positivity and maybe open us back up. The quote specifically he shared is from a cancer surgeon I think he was watching a play. Yeah. He was watching a play where chaos theory was kind of touched on in the play, and it led him to develop chemotherapy as a treatment for cancer, which has, you know, been a huge success at improving outcomes. And anyway, but
yeah, this is really sad, dude. It's really sad.
Oh, I don't see, take it that way.
I don't see anything of this stuff, like, to be honest. I hate to be that guy. But like all this stuff, I don't see any of this stuff. We were at Round Rock Bitcoiners yesterday and the vibes were high, man. So maybe it's just like people that are outside of Bitcoin, I think, where they're kind of getting this kind of it's kind of what was prophesized years ago.
By who? By what? What
prophecy? The OGs, they're talking about how, like, you know, the pain that was going to be inflicted on people that didn't opt in for Bitcoin.
Well, we've been talking a lot about how Bitcoin has changed. So
definitely has changed. We're going to talk about it later in this episode. But
I would say it's been infected by the same thing. It's just a Bitcoin version of the same thing. So, but I'd say all of these. At the end of
reading, though, like, people still go to the library. I actually just got a library card last week.
Okay. Well, yeah.
And then Triumph of Streaming Video. I could see that. Let's go down the list. What was the other one? He said TikTok. Yeah, I could see that too. Right now is one big bet on like the artificial intelligence, like it's providing a ton of jobs. Like we were talking to a lot of people yesterday, like AI is just like opening up jobs here in Austin. Let's see. Let's see what else we got. Generative AI. Gen Z, I think Gen Z got dealt a worse hand than millennials. That's for sure. But I think Gen Z will figure it out just like the millennials figured it out. That's how I'm feeling today, Keon.
Okay.
I think it's a great post, though. The amount of time to put 26 most important ideas, yeah. Cool stuff. What did Gray Ruby say? He said, this is very depressing. I definitely agree with the casinification of the economy. Yeah, he said all these apps were designed to democratize and gamify both finance and sports betting, paired with young minds with that are addicted to dopamine. It's probably a very dangerous cocktail. Yeah. Let's go to your next post. Zeus Node, tips and tricks from Darth Coin, 16 comments, 11,000 sats. Keon, what's Evan building these days?
Yeah, Zeus and version 12, I guess, is going to have an NWC server included in it. And with the NWC server, you're going to be able to add sub-accounts kind of like you can on Albi.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Darthcoin wrote a little guide for you, and then I think added some other tips about how you might better manage an always-on Zeus node. Which is, you know, it's something I hadn't really... He mentioned it, I think, in a Saloon comment the other day where he was talking about how, you know, if you have a spare tablet, you put Zeus on it and you turn it on, you know, like an Android tablet, and you put it on always on mode. You can basically have a Lightning node that's always on and do most of what you want to do with a Lightning node, but it's running in a tablet app, which is a pretty cool thought. It made me wonder if there's any plans for Zeus to be deployed on things like Umbral or Start 9.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into the AI Bitcoin stuff. This one I think got posted just like 13 hours ago. It was such a great post. It's really in depth. I'm not going to be able to cover it all. It's a lot of it's just above my head. It's just above. Maybe Keon can explain it.
I didn't read it.
You didn't read it. Okay, even better. But the gist of what I understand here is this guy named Tim Detmers is talking about the bottleneck issue that is going to happen at some point with AI and all the infrastructure that's being built out there, and that how we're never going to get to AGI, and it's just very. And he's an academic, goes through it all. Talks about the computation, how it's physical, and it's a very you can tell he spent a long time talking about it, like long time looking into why AGI is not going to happen with the estimated dates that like Sam Altman and some of these other people are predicting. He talks about it's very in depth. A lot of it's over my head, but from what I can understand, there's a great response to this though inside the comments from It's Real Fake. And he goes in depth, like line by line. This deserved its own post, to be honest, if he's watching. But like he goes line by line why a lot of this is, it'll lead to, basically from my understanding of reading this from his reply, and correct me if I'm wrong, It's Real Fake, but it sounds like he's saying that a lot of the bottlenecks issues will get resolved because of new technology that hasn't been complete yet. And this is the Photonics. Holographic data storage, and so he explains how these bottlenecks that this guy has seen, this Detmers guy has seen, will lead to innovation in other areas, right? And then he go through it all. He literally goes line by line about why this guy is not looking at it. That's kind of being closed minded versus open minded, right? Like it's literally what we were talking about earlier with Kepford. Like this is more an open-minded opinion about AGI, and then the academic was talking about more of a closed-minded opinion about AGI. At the end, I think he said probably the most profound thing I haven't really thought about. He quotes what's his name, Ray Kurzweil, and Ray Kurzweil says that he defines artificial general intelligence as a technology capable of matching what an expert in every field can do. All at the same time, he predicts that AGI will be achieved by 2029. This is Ray Kurzweil, emphasizing its potential to enhance human intelligence rather than compete with it. So the cool thing that he ends with is this part right here. He talks about how AGI will never happen. He goes, if he instead said AGI will never happen because humans are going to get better as we integrate with machines and therefore the goalposts will keep being moved, Keon, he said that. If he would have said that in his kind of like argument of why AGI won't happen, he said he would have been on board with that because he does think there's going to be some kind of symbiotic thing that happens. But yeah, it's a great post. Just wanted to share it. It was in the AI territory this morning.
Ah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I would guess that the real, I don't know. I'd like, if you look at technology bottlenecks, it seems like they most, like the one I think about the most is probably like the physics problem, where we kind of haven't, it feels like we haven't advanced physics in a significant way in a very long time. And I wonder how much of that is actually a technology problem and not some other kind of problem. And, you know, if the real bottleneck in AGI occurs when militarized applications emerge, then we know that maybe it's not like a human ingenuity bottleneck, and it's more so a like counter forces trying to keep a technology safe. I don't see the market slowing down for.
I don't see it either. When I read the other, because I went through this, but it's hard to grasp, man. It really is. It's just above my head. All this stuff. I would have to go and like research certain words and all that kind of stuff. But when I read the, that's why Stacker News is so great. When I read this post by It's Real Fake, he went through it and actually parsed it out and explained it, you know, for Bitcoiners to understand, or at least from my understanding. You know what I mean? It gives it kind of like a Bitcoin lens to it, which a lot of us already, I guess for us, it's like you're doing the non-custodial stuff, but you see a lot of things in Bitcoin where these bottlenecks do lead to, you know, innovations, or, you know, it just happens just because incentives broke, right? Like, and I think that's where it's just good to have a Bitcoin lens to this stuff. Anyways, but really great post to wake up to, good comments, all that kind of stuff. So I want to share that. And then the other one was this. I don't know if you saw this, but the over 10,000 Docker Hub images found leaking credentials with auth keys. I remember a lot of people use Docker, like when I had a fiat job. Like,
I know they still do.
They still do?
Yeah. It's the most popular way to define an environment that you want to reproduce.
It looks like more than 10,000 Docker Hub container images exposed data that should be protected, including live credentials to production systems, databases, and LLM model keys. Talks about
it's really easy to accidentally check in into your source, your version control, accidentally check in credentials. You have to be pretty vigilant. You have to have a system in place, but that requires like a little bit of planning.
You use Docker or no?
We use it for our developer environment, but we don't host anything on Docker Hub. It's just all in our repo. But but this is like equivalent to like you have your environment files open sourced. It's kind of what things on Docker Hub is like. And they just, you know, some people hard code them in for convenience reasons, or maybe they're outsourced, or maybe they have contractors who are don't have incentives that are maybe aligned. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. Just wanted to share that. And then the other stuff was, I wanted to jump into my post this week. And this is about the whole SPAC stuff that's going on. We were talking about this earlier about how like we're going to get into it. But I talk about it here, but I really do think that, at least from my perspective, I always thought that Bitcoin was going to lead to like this restoration, right? Like it was going to lead to us rebuilding what our past generations have eroded with the fiat currency. And a lot of what I see now with the SPAC stuff that's happening is it just feels virtueless. Like it just feels like, it's just incompatible with Bitcoin, because it has no virtue. It's all shortcuts. And it's so sad too. Like somebody actually made a website. I don't know if you saw this. Oh, where is it at? Let me go back. Somebody actually made a website for these SPACs. Where is it at? Yeah. OneClickTreasury.com. Let me see if I can find it. So this got posted this week on Stacker News. One-click BTC Treasury. Launch a Bitcoin treasury company in minutes. Obviously, this is a joke, but this is kind of where we're at, man. Like, it's shitcoins 2.0. Like, look at this. Company name, ticker symbol, jurisdiction, all this stuff. Then you go through it, and then talks about the pricing. This is how much it's going to cost you. This is what you need to do it. Like, so somebody literally took the playbook and made and vibe coded a website to it. It's pretty hilarious. But this is kind of that shortcut process. I think what this person was doing, this was a reported post by Scoresby, but I think what this person was doing, just kind of showing that, you know, this is not going to restore anything that Bitcoin was supposed to do from the very beginning. I just want to share light to it because we've just been seeing a ton of SPACs. We don't have to get into any names or anything like that, but it just feels very somber. And I didn't know like what to do with this in my head, but I was like, let me write it out. Cause if I write it out, I'll get it out of my system. Right. So I think that, and then the other thing that was kind of really spooky, and I'll share this right here, but a lot of this is from the general theory of reflexivity. And I'll leave that for people to look into, but yeah. Anyways, You got any thoughts on the SPAC stuff? I know you don't like talking about it too much, but
yeah. I just don't, I think the trend is like dying. And to the extent that it still exists, if you like listen to what they're saying, if you pay attention to the part where they're not like infinite money glitch and like memeing themselves into greatness, it's a lot of bullshit, specifically around that. Like you saw some of these new SPACs, these new treasury companies come out and say things like, we're more pure of a Bitcoin play, we don't have all the traditional crustiness that MicroStrategy has, we're more pure. And now as the market has responded and said, we actually don't want anything to do with your SPACs, now a lot of them are saying that they have this technology mission, and it's a Bitcoin technology mission. And you know, it's so important and it's so complicated and so special and so advanced that you can't understand it though. So they can't explain it to you yet. You just won't get it. It's so new. It's so knowable.
So
it sounds exactly like,
you know what that is though, Keon? Like that's actually the scary part about this post, is this is all like out of the Soros playbook, man. That's the scary part about this.
I haven't read that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's why I'm saying it goes even deeper than that. And that's why a lot of this stuff no one's talking about it, but it needs to be said. Like, this is the same type of thing that Soros did. And however you feel about him, whether you like him or you don't like him, but a lot of that type of chess playing that's going on, there you go.
Yeah, I think another sign of, like, kind of the grossness of this is I think there are a lot of the people who are trying to sell these SPACs are speaking to an audience that maybe had some FOMO on like MicroStrategy's rise to whatever MicroStrategy is. And they're like, well, you missed out on that one, but this is going to be just like MicroStrategy except new. So give us your money now, early, and you'll be in the new MicroStrategy. And it's just like another altcoin meme coin.
And that's why this website is so good. Like this is why this website is so good. I don't have it. Keeps coming up wrong. The one click, Bitcoin treasury thing. This is why this website's so good, dude. Because this is what Bitcoiners do best. We meme it out of existence. This is what we do best. And it's just hilarious that somebody actually took the time to do all the research. Because this looks like a legitimate website.
Yeah. Well, if you find yourself tempted to invest in one of these SPACs because you think it's going to be the next MicroStrategy, I would recommend you don't. You know, sometimes I would say a lot of the people who are early in MicroStrategy stock were either like ahead of the curve and did the work and kind of understood what they were doing, or they got lucky. And if you are neither lucky or ahead of the curve and doing your research, don't expect to get wealthy on one of these like new SPACs. You know, the reliable way, if you need to get rich or want to get rich, the reliable way to get rich is to create value. Not to find the scam earlier than other people and invest in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I do feel cleansed though. Now I don't need to talk about it anymore, but, it's definitely, It definitely was weighing on me most of this year. But now I don't feel like that anymore. But it's just sad to see. Sad to see. We got to pour one out. The last one is kind of a funny one. Fun one, I guess. We have one funny one this week. Why do Gen Z have a growing appetite for retro tech? Keon, do you know why they love retro tech? Like iPods and PSPs and DVDs and all the things that you want to rent out? I'm just kidding.
I don't know. I think, there are trade-offs made when you go from, purpose-built devices to, like, generic devices that kind of do everything. Like, you lose some things.
He owns this SNL DVD right there. Look at that.
Okay. I think we sold only three of them. I don't remember it being one of him. You know better the books on that. But
Now, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was just...
He's like, so proud of his collection, dude. He looks like me in 2000. That's what I was with
my DVD. This is the record collection of today. That's really what this is.
Yeah. I think honestly, the truth, and this kind of what we were talking about earlier, is like Gen Z has gotten it worse than millennials. And so they're basically getting all the scraps. And so that means going to thrift stores, like we were talking about, buying DVDs, buying these old Blu-ray players, like buying these old iPods, buying this technology that's dead because they can't afford the subscriptions for this stuff. Right.
I don't think that's the problem.
I think that kind of correlates if you kind of look into it a little bit more. Think about how much you're spending per month in just like subscription services, whether it's just like for media or entertainment. And when you could just go to your local thrift store and find these DVDs for like 50 cents or whatever. He even says it here. He goes, the main selling point for me is the cases. He says, there's something about really clean cases. He goes, streaming services like Netflix and Disney dominate the market, but Decline says he values ownership. It's nice to have something you own instead of paying for subscriptions all the time. If I lost access to streaming tomorrow, I'd still have my favorite movies ready to watch. That's what he says. It makes sense.
Well, yeah, this is also like arguing the other way from the first post that we discussed in this podcast about ownership versus renting. Like Netflix and a lot of these streaming services lower the transaction costs of temporarily getting access to media such that you don't feel the need to own it anymore. But you lose things when you don't own them. You lose the forever access that you get when you own something. And so there are just these trade-offs. And I think some people prefer the either the physical ownership or in the case of these devices, like I think some of the, what is this? This is like
a PSP.
A PSP.
Jeez, I love my PSP.
Yeah, they want something that is kind of, purpose built for, and the games, the software is purpose built to be delivered on
better games
purpose
back built. Then too, I bet. I don't advice. Know. Feels like they were better games. Anyways, The last post we have is, actually, I think we touched them all. Yeah, I think that was it. The next one is, let's get into Meta. Wumble, your favorite person in the world, Keon, launched a new territory or news territory.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Relaunch the Daily Zap. What do you think about this?
I think it's cool. I think it's awesome. I hadn't, there was a post I think that Supratic did about all the archive territories. And I think Wumble reached out to me saying that he had an error when he was trying to purchase territory, and I didn't know which territory he was trying to buy, and I think he was trying to play it safe and not mention it in case someone else swooped in and bought it before him. But I guess it's the news territory.
Dude, this is cool. Like I can actually see that, like on in a building, it says the Daily Zap. Well, looks really cool, man. And then also too, this is good because now we can finally get regular news into Stacker News.
Yeah, we had
it. I didn't even know a lot of it was being posted. But
we had a news territory for a long time by C0K1, I believe is the handle. And they were a good steward. They tried to get the territory going. It's very hard. It's like very hard to run a community.
It's tough.
Yeah. And I think with some territories, it can be really tricky because it's hard to, what is news? Because news is like such a broad thing. And I think that'll be the struggle for anyone who's trying to tackle a territory called news. But I think it's, kind of international happenings that maybe don't fit in any other territory is kind of what ends up being news, I think. But
I'm excited to see this because at some point we'll be able to get breakdowns and news too, right? At some point, sub territories and get the Austin news and
yeah,
all those other news.
That'll be cool.
That'll be cool once we get there. But yeah, really cool stuff. I'm excited now. I get to know when the government shuts down again.
before they'd get kind of people would be. If you wanted to look for news, you go in politics and law, depending on the type, and maybe you go.
It's just too hard to find.
Yeah, it can be kind of tricky. Where do you go?
Yeah.
So now there's a broader home for that. So.
Yeah. The next one is Rip 10. This is what makes a good post. Long form content is increasing on SN. This is from Simple Stacker. 9 comments, 3,934 says, Keel, what's this meta?
Yeah, he did some analysis on like how well posts do and depending on their content, and found that, you know, in general, a lot of the longer form stuff on Stacker News, or maybe, you know, at least discussion posts that are roughly medium form, or links that have some discussion on them, or discussions that have some links in them, they tend to do better than, you know, just a link post with maybe a title and nothing, no color added to it. And so this is just another Simple Stacker statistical report on his findings looking at historical data from Stacker News. I think he also he shows that by his high quality metric, which is posts that have these discussion posts with links in them or discussion posts, they are increasing rather than decreasing, showing that perhaps because they're rewarded more, or zap more, perform better.
I also think the subscriber thing actually matters too. Like there's some stackers that I'm subscribed to who I'll always zap if it's like a good post. So I definitely think that I don't know if he has that in the thing or
no,
if that matters or not. I definitely think you can grow a subscriber list of a sort for how do you say, like, for your notifications and stuff?
He might have subscribed. I anonymized all the data, but I think he should still be able to pull out some numerical analysis of subscription relationships.
Yeah, Substacker is always posts good stuff. You know, I might actually subscribe. Oh, I'm already subscribed to him.
There you go.
There you go. I thought it wasn't. There you go. Yeah, I think just having like really good, at least for me, that's what works with keeping track of all this stuff. It's just being, subscribe to people. The next one is, I think that's it. I think that's all we got. Oh, no, Pleb Poet's zine. She released a new zine this week. It's called, what is it called? Let me see if I can find it. Oh, See the Forest for the Trees. See the Bitcoin in the zine. Looks like she's featuring BitChill, Billy the Kids, Top Thought, Den's brief commentary on futures, Elvis Mercury, and Jason B. Let's see if we can get the web version loading again. Maybe not. Oh, we can. There you go. What do you think about that one, Keon?
I think it's great. I actually hadn't had a chance to peruse this issue yet, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, if you want to see it, check it out online or buy the zine. And yeah, you have
go to plebpoet.com/zines.
Oh, there you go.
You can get we're also selling all of our zines.
Oh yeah, right
in here, a Christmas bundle. And right, if you want to really inconvenience Pleb Poet, you can
purchase. Because you'll have to get them out before Christmas, is what you're saying?
Yeah, she'll have to print out like 50 zines.
That's awesome.
Or mail them out. Awesome.
And you get a free Sammy.
It's very experimental, like her, but it should be cool. They're going to be like, and each zine is in its own sleeve. Do they get a
free sticker too, or no?
You get a what?
A free Stacker News sticker.
Oh, we should. I think we talked about doing that. I don't think we've done that, but each issue is its own.
For Christmas, you're getting a free Stacker News sticker.
Okay. Well, Car's gonna make you a ham for Christmas. That's what he does.
I'm just kidding. Talk to Pleb Poet. She can sneak you in a Stacker News sticker.
Each issue is in its own plastic sleeve, and then that's going to be bound together with rings.
Maybe you do plastic sleeves now.
That's right, dude. They're like comic books. But
that's awesome.
Pleb Poet was trying to figure out how to, like, deliver this many zines without just like a big stack of unwieldy paper.
You know, I always had an idea for like a. I guess I shouldn't say it because it'll come true. Okay, it's okay. Let it come true. I always had an idea for Pleb Prime. Just never did it.
Pleb Prime?
It's like Amazon Prime for plebs.
Okay, but how would that work?
I got an idea. Anyways.
I mean, it's a name. You shared the name.
With an idea. I have the name and I have an idea. I didn't buy the domain name, though. But it's like it's written somewhere or it's in a note somewhere. I forget. That was like a 22 car idea. Anyways, cool stuff, man. Get it now. Get number 37. Yeah, 37. So there'll probably be how many more? 38, 39. Maybe we get to 40.
By the end of the year?
Yeah. How many more weeks are left?
Two more weeks left. Yeah. So we won't get.
Oh, here she comes.
40 will probably be the first version.
How many more zines are left?
I just want to say. Oh. I believe this idea came from Context. Yeah, at Context with a K. Because of his suggestion, what we're going to do for the final zine of the year is a year in review.
Wow, that's amazing. So how many more?
For this year?
For the year in review.
So we got 37, that was today. 38, that was going to be next week, which is going to be...
39?
So yeah, 39 will be the final one.
That's going to be cool.
Man, 39 isn't a great number.
Is it a prime number?
It's a prime number.
Oh, there you go. That sounds
like what goes into 39? What's factors of 39? Oh, it's like 9 and... Yeah, that's for sure. That's a really easy one.
Cool stuff.
33.
Yeah, can you answer the question? Do you get a free Stacker News or... an SN zine sticker or anything like that?
Wait, what?
Is there like a sticker you get with during Christmas time? No, I totally roll back the tape.
I haven't done any stickers in a while.
Okay. Oh, I was just curious.
Yeah. My machine that cuts the stickers doesn't really like, we're not really getting along.
Oh, wow.
So pray for us.
Yeah. We will. We'll keep you in our advent calendar.
His name's Frank.
Oh, well, pray check for it Frank.
Out. Check it out. All the zines here. Then also I should mention, you know what else makes a great holiday gift? I got it. It's on my coffee table. Her book.
Oh, yeah. Go to that. Click that button. Let's see.
This one.
And see.
This is a great.
So you can, like, browse the book.
Wow. Did you vibe code that, bro? Yeah.
And then you can buy
it. Somebody's going to take this book and write songs with it. I just know it. I can feel it. But yeah, you should definitely get it. It makes a great holiday gift. There you go. A tiny inkling of things far beyond me. Should be good stuff. All right, cool. Let's jump into Top Cowboys, baby. Top Cowboys. Where is it at? Top Cowboys. Right there. You got your hat?
Oh, okay.
What's going on with you today? You're out of it. Have you been sleeping? You been getting enough air?
I think I'm
low
on
carbon dioxide.
I'm fine. I'm just, okay. You know. Like.
Are you high on carbon dioxide? High on carb.
You could say whatever you want. It's fine. Yeah. So, okay. So we got Cowboys again. I don't
see. It's the most popular segment in Bitcoin camp.
Oh, that's right. We forget to remind everyone.
It's the most popular segment.
It's really a warning that we need to do. This is really
popular. I don't know why we haven't cut this up.
It could be harmful to your health if you.
I don't know why Wombo hasn't clipped this. This is the, like, this is so where all people. The alpha's at in this one segment. No?
What? I'm sorry. I think what happens is I get. When you talk over me, I get hypnotized, and I just can't. I think that's like part of the.
I'll stop talking over you.
I just want to talk a little shit back.
You should.
Okay, so I don't think
it's
anything.
It's good for the views, right?
And yeah,
the listens.
Perhaps, but yeah, maybe people like it.
People like the banter back and forth.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I like watching a steamroller work. That's how. That's like. Okay, but I don't think anything's really much has changed in the lists here, as far as I can tell. There's probably been some movement, but probably not.
OT, right?
Dramatic OT, amounts
OT
of it.
OT went up, it looks like.
Could be OT. OT, check. If you're listening to this, check your nodes, your receiving node. It is being wonky, so.
He's pretty busy. He's a father, a husband, a Bitcoiner, a musician, a composer, a traveler.
Lard Maximus. Those are a lot. Wow. He's got a lot going on.
Monteca. Love it. Let's keep going. Yeah, what else you got? Coins Reporter, Wumble, Kepford, Pleb Poet, CJ. I'm right there. 40, JB55 came back. He did an AMA this
week. He did an AMA. It was a great AMA.
Did you click on it? Did you ask him a question?
I did ask him a question. I asked him C versus Rust, and he said C. That was Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Pretty crazy stuff. Love to see it. Who else do we have? Oscar was here this week.
Oh yeah.
Oscar had some more. I think he had news too. Gosh, so much stuff happening. I always remind. Yeah, right here. This one. Fat 1.4 got released.
Yeah, they just announced it today. It looks like they basically revamped their wallet.
Yeah. They're using Strike.
Oh, they switched to Strike?
I think that's what I read at the bottom earlier when I skimmed it. Yeah, Withdraw Strike is doing great things. We're proud to partner with them. There you go. Cool stuff.
Oh, I don't know if they're using Strike. They're you might be able to withdraw to Strike, but maybe it might not be a Strike wallet underneath.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Check it out. And who else do we have that was here this week? I thought I saw somebody else. Yeah, Geyser was here this week. Plunda was here. I was talking to Plunda this week on there. And there's Plunda. And
totally Peter Human Rider.
Bitcoin Pleb Dev. Oh, yeah. Bitcoin Pleb Dev had a release this week. I saw that. Where's that one at? Yeah. Froster. Yeah, he released Froster. Did you see this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of these posts just came in. I saw this briefly. But there you go. Pretty awesome. I still haven't dove into Froster yet, but this should make it a lot easier for me to give it a shot.
I'd love to see it. Everybody's shipping before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
You want to deliver.
And we got Sox 93. Sox. And that's it. That's all we got. Oh, wait. Hang on a second. I think we got one more. Yeah, we got right here. We got comments. Apparently, Graphene OS, we had a comment here that said Google won't do Google Wallet on Graphene OS, so no thanks. And then somebody said Nexus is the hardware from last two decades. Are they talking about the Nexus phone, or are they talking about which phone is that?
I don't know. This is on an old post, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one that got quite a few views about Graphene
OS. Still want to hear about Graphene.
I think the Nexus was what they used to call their Google phone.
Oh, this is before the Pixel.
I think so, or maybe it was something else.
Maybe that was the one that they partnered. Did they partner with somebody before they started making their own hardware?
I don't remember, but I do remember something Google releasing that was called Nexus at some point. So,
Well, and then we had some Fountain comments. Blockchain Boots like Zap on Discipline said, "We're above you jabronis on the charts right now."
Oh. That's probably.
See, look what you started, Coop. Now they hate us.
I didn't start anything.
Beef with our only friends on the podcast circuit, or one of our.
It's true. We should be partnering and promoting each other.
You know what I propose? I just thought of this right now. You know what I propose? I think they should do an episode of SNL, and we do an episode of Stacker Sports.
We could do that.
You flip for a week and see like what happens. Like we take their format, we do their format, and then they do our format for 1 week. What do you think about that? How do you think that would go?
I think it's convoluted and no one would get it. It's like too much of an inside joke, and it's only The only people who get it is us and them and everyone else to be confused. But we should do something like, you know, like Lex Friedman and Joe Rogan.
Oh.
They like, you know, they kind of like partnered up and.
Did they partner up?
I don't know. It seemed like they did for a while where they were kind of, I don't know, having each other on or I don't know how that would work. I don't know how partnerships work.
I've been on their show.
I'm too antisocial to know how partnerships work, but.
Are you going
to
go on their show?
I don't have anything to say about sports. So it would be, if they want to talk about lightning wallets. I'm an expert on that right now.
Yeah. Anyways, I thought that was a funny comment by this one. I know they're just joking. It would be tough to fill in Gray Ruby's shoes. He's pretty, like, when you listen to their podcast, like, they're pretty in-depth. Like,
about yeah.
sports stuff.
I remember I was like, I did a little bit of Super Bowl analysis where.
Oh, yeah.
And then he just, like, completely schooled me. He was like, yeah. No, that is not who that is not where that player ranks in the league or whatever. And it's like,
It's a good pod. Definitely check it out. Oh, let's see here. What else we got? I think that's it. Oh, wait. You got one comment from Super Sacker. He says, I can't even count the number of times a young, fresh-faced college student has told me they want to make the Airbnb of whether that's surfboards, ski equipment, video games, or whatever. For some reason, those ideas haven't really taken off. I wonder why that is. There you go, Keon.
Oh, can I count the number of times a young, so they want to make. Oh.
When you were talking about earlier about your early startup idea.
I think the way you, I didn't know, I imagine it sort of being like a huge Amazon global thing. I think what you want to do is you want to probably start out in a college town, have a warehouse, and then just, you serve only that local town and you figure out how to make that work. And I'm not saying I have all the answers how to make that work, but I think that's where you'd start, is you have, you know, a small college town with a population of maybe 50,000, where there's like a high need for kind of temporary usage of things too, which I think would overlap well with a college town. And then you just want to build a great website that's really easy to browse and really easy to find thing and find things.
Pitching Simple Stacker right now?
No, but this is how I would build it today. If I were to build this, if I were to try to build this as a business, like that's how I think you want to do it. When I did it, I didn't really know too much about how you might need to start something like that, but that's probably how you do it. I think it probably will happen. It just might. Too early.
Just listening to the Airbnb, what's his name? Brian Chesky, whatever. Just listening to his interviews, like, it sounds like the, when you bring real world and then the two-sided marketplace. And I mean, it's tough, man.
Well, that's the thing about like stuff like this is you're primarily just, you're accepting donations. So it's a one-sided marketplace because you're pretty much fully providing the supply, sort of like Amazon does. It's just, so you only have to fulfill the demand, which should be, I think, for a lot of things, pretty easy if you're going to get the cost low. Anyway, that's my thought about it.
Optimus said, Tilcoob has a really great partner because he only needs to drill for 1 hour a year.
Well, what is your partner have you doing where you're using a drill more than she having you like build her like a, I don't know, like a separate unit, a separate wing of the house or something?
Yeah.
I live in a 600 square foot single bedroom. I don't know what you call it. It was like built in the 1930s. It's tiny. There's like not a whole, there aren't enough things to drill into to amount to more than a year. So,
sounds like everybody's coming right now. What are you doing this weekend, Keon?
I think I need to set up my office. I still haven't done it yet. Everything is in like more or less out of boxes, but not arranged, so it'd be nice to get things somewhat organized and livable. So that's probably my big great task this weekend. How about you? What are you?
Definitely gonna have a beer right after this show, and then we're gonna go watch a show. We're gonna go to a show tonight.
What show? Who are you seeing?
I don't know who we're seeing. I think some band. Should be good.
Nick has a certain type of music that he likes, right?
Yeah, me and him grew up in the same type of music.
It's like punk pop, right?
It's like 2000s.
Like Avril Lavigne type.
No, it's like all the bands that we used to listen to. Me and Nick used to listen to like Thrice and like Saves the Day, all that stuff.
Okay, so a little more rock pop.
It's like the 2000s, 2010s. Yeah.
Okay, but you're just giving me a year. It's not like,
I mean, people who follow me on Saturday News know what kind of music I listen to. I post enough music posts to let people know. But yeah, we're going to go do that. That should be fun. I'm going to go drink a beer. And I'll be here tomorrow. What are we doing tomorrow? There's something going on tomorrow. Oh, I guess not. Mine slipped. Anyways, y'all have yourself a great weekend. Stackers, we'll see you next time.
Zap.